Welcome to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends, a woman's guide to life. I'm Laura, coach, yogi, wife, mom, crochet queen, Diet Coke aficionado, and obsessed with England.
And I'm Kristen, a recovering professor who loves crafting, organization, wine, cooking, and a good to-do list.
We've been friends for over 2 decades and have seen each other through lots of life. Each week, we share our perspectives on life and what we've learned so far. And to let you know, you're not alone being in the thick of things.
So glad to have you as part of our D3 community. Let's jump in.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. This is Laura, and Kristen is not going to join me today, but I do have my friend Cheyenne Reed here with me. So I'm going to let her introduce herself, and then we'll tell you what we're going to talk about today. So Cheyenne, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Laura. I'm so glad to be here. Just a little bit about me. I'm a business owner. I own my own bookkeeping firm. I've known Laura for, I don't know, like 10 years now.
It's been a minute. Yeah, absolutely.
From our old lives when I made candles and you sold Pampered Chef. We don't do any of those things anymore. So
absolutely,
I'm excited to be here and to talk about this topic and spark some conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Cheyenne has agreed to be on the podcast today, and we are going to talk, and Cheyenne has, we've talked about this ahead of time, so I'm not putting her on the spot or anything like that. But this idea of being childless by choice, and I know this is a very loaded question. It's kind of a sensitive topic. There are lots and lots of reasons. I feel like, and Cheyenne, you can feel free to disagree with me on this, but I feel like it's becoming more common for people to be vocal about this. And I actually approached you after you had made a Facebook post. And I thought we were so well spoken about everything. And we've talked on the podcast lots about how people will ask questions that it's really none of their business to know the answer to those. And so I think it's so funny sometimes what people, what people feel like they need to talk about with their lives. But I wondered if you might share with us, so what kind of led you and your husband to the decision not to have children? And kind of how did you arrive at that? And I'm sure it had lots and lots of thought and discussion behind it and everything.
Anybody that knows me knows I am a researcher. I want to know all the ins and outs. And a lot of people that I know that are child-free by choice say, I never wanted to have kids. I'm not that person. Okay. I grew up and, I just always thought I'd have kids. Mm-hmm. My husband, before he was my husband, we even had names picked out for our boy and a girl eventually down the road. Because that's what you do, right? You get married and you have kids. You know, I remember being at the playground and you sing, the K-I-S-S-I-N-G, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage.
Right.
And so I just assumed that's how my life would go. Never really thought anything other than that. When we got married, we bought a house and we remodeled the entire thing. At that point, kids were eventually going to happen. So we added a whole second story for the just in case we have kids someday. And then 2020 came. At the end of 2019, I was kind of on the fence. I was really starting to realize that I didn't have to follow society's standards in other aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. And then the whirlwind that was 2020 came, and I started doing a lot of shadow work, which it's like witchy therapy.
Absolutely. And no, getting down into those deep thoughts. And we just did a whole 2 episodes on the woo. So absolutely. Yes.
And I feel like I just kind of started peeling back what I call peeling back the onion, peeling back those layers that society has constantly told me, especially as a woman, your job is to do this. This is how you have to do it. And I kind of felt, I don't even remember how I fell into the rabbit hole of child-free by choice. I was like, oh, that's an option.
Right.
And once I realized
it's never shown to us as an option, right? It's always, this is what you do, unless you can't.
And when people announce, oh, I'm having a baby, whether it's their first, whether it's their fifth, everybody's always, congratulations, congratulations. And so as a woman in this society, you see all that stuff and you're like, man, like I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. But I've I've stepped outside the box in a lot of other aspects. And so I was like, no, this is, I want to research this. And then I started seeing, so Stevie Nicks is one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Yeah.
And she's child-free by choice. She's talked about it in interviews. And then I started seeing Betty White and Dolly Parton, and like all these famous people that I look up to. And, you know, that aspect, they're all
that are all amazing human beings, too. Like they, I mean, Dolly Parton has taught how many kids how to read. She doesn't have to be a mom to make an impact.
She has the whole, you have a kid, you can sign up for her book program and she'll send your kid a book for the first several years of their lives.
Yes.
And so I, you know, I see things like that and I'm like, that could be me. And I love kids. I love other people's kids because then I can just send them back home when they're cranky or as babies when they need their diapers changed. And, you know, I babysat growing up. I'm great with kids. I just like my time and my freedom. And realizing that this is an option kind of opened a whole new world for me. And I didn't talk about it a whole lot because, like you said, people don't talk about fertility and reproduction in any way, really. And I think just like money. And I think that stuff should be talked about. And so that's on International Child Free Day. I made a post and the amount of people that have come to me afterwards and said, you really made me feel heard. I felt like something was wrong with me because I'm 30 or 40 or 50 years old and I never had kids and never wanted them. And so I'm to the point now where I have, in 6 weeks, I'll be having the surgery to remove my tubes. And so I won't have to worry about that at all. And I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
So excited for it.
Yeah. That's so cool. And, you know, and I think too that like that is a stigma that I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but you can correct me on this, like that if you don't choose to have children, you hate kids. And I'm sure there are people like that out there. And that, again, that's fine. I mean, I look at it as we were all kids at some point in time. So thank goodness that there were people, you know, to raise us and that sort of a thing. But my sister, I'll probably use her as an example a lot in this. She's the same way. She just, you know, she is an amazing aunt to my children. And she's the first one to check how was the first day of school and, you know, all those kinds of things. But when they were babies, especially, she was like, I don't know how you do this, like physically. She's like, I don't think I could like, do, you know, keep them alive. And I'm like, well, part of it's survival, but you know, the other part is like, you know, so I love that that's kind of your attitude as well, because, you know, you see like, and I always just laugh because people are entitled to their opinions 100%. But, you know, when people are like calling kids crotch goblins and things like that, it's like, you don't have to be nasty to kids or you don't have to be nasty to people that have chosen to have kids. But yeah, it's, I love that. I love that.
Well, and being our age, you know, we have a lot of friends that have kids, especially the younger kids right now. And so we understand when we're like, hey, do you want to do this or that with us? A lot of times they say, oh, well, I have the kids. And normally our response is, cool, bring them. Like, I don't care if your kids are around unless it's an adults only function.
Right.
But I don't mind people's kids. I just don't want to deal with the responsibility of them. I know they say for 18 years, but once you're a parent, you're always a parent.
Oh my gosh. I mean, literally just got back from lunch with my dad and we were chatting about everything in life. Like I'm 39 years old and I'm still like, Dad, what do you think about this? You know, it just, that's how it goes.
Exactly. Well, and it's, we had two dogs, two elderly dogs. One of them we had to put down 6 months ago, and going through all of that, you know, dealing with an elderly animal was hard enough. I couldn't imagine all of the random things that could happen to kids. And then you have to deal with that. And I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool that you can say that. And, it, you know, and there, no one should ever make you feel like there's something wrong with you because you don't, you know, you're, I think it's just as responsible to choose this as it is to choose taking care of someone, which is super cool. So, well, Cheyenne, I'm curious with this. So you said that you and your husband had, but what did that look like from his perspective? Or did it just kind of happen organically? I guess, how did that look for you all in your relationship as well?
This is kind of an interesting twist that I wasn't expecting. When we got married, I knew my husband was on the fence about kids. He had told me, I never want to have them. I never want to have them. But we've been together since high school. He was an only child. He has a lot of trauma. And so I was like, men mature slower than women. So mm-hmm. he'll get there. He'll catch up with me. And so, and I was also like, if he doesn't, that's fine too. And so we never really discussed it a whole lot more after that. It was brought up here and there. And then when I told him that I'd made the decision that I wanted to get sterilized and have my tubes removed, it was a complete 180. He was devastated. And really? I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And for him, it was one thing for him to choose. And my husband's fantastic, but there are a lot of things that society has put on him as well. You know, sure. me, man, I have to protect
sure.
kind of thing. And so his brain said, oh, well, it's different when it was my option not to. But now that I can't, that changes things. And he went through the whole spiral of, well, what about my last name? What about continuing our family line? And
yeah.
so it, I was shook because I was not expecting that reaction.
Sure.
And I'm also a very independent person. So I'd already made the decision. There's no talking me out of it. Like, this sure. is my body.
This is happening.
This is
what
I'm going to do. But I did explain to him, technically, after this procedure, if we changed our minds, we can do IVF. Like, mm-hmm. I can still technically have a baby if I wanted to.
You could carry a child. Secondly, yeah.
Yes. And secondly, we could always adopt. There are so many children out there that need homes.
Mm-hmm.
And once I kind of explained that to him and he kind of thought through it, it was like, okay, he has two little brothers that are adopted. We have yeah. friends that have children that are adopted. Mm-hmm. So once his brain kind of processed all of that, he's been supportive 100%. You let me know what you need for this, that, and this. And yeah. it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
But since I told him this, he's been asked three different times now. So when are you guys having kids?
Right.
And I find that interesting because I've gotten asked that
for years, probably
for the last 6 years since
yeah.
the day after we got married. And he's never been asked until now that we've made this decision. And so it's been a struggle for him, but it's brought us closer together. And I think in the end, the freedom it'll bring us will be even better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a future person. I can see how things are going to be. He is not.
Right.
So he doesn't think of all of that. And I've told him, if we ever do decide to do IVF or adopt, we'll have the finances to do that because mm-hmm. we won't be raising kids.
Right.
And all of our money going to them.
Right.
So it's very interesting, but he's come around and it's getting a lot better.
Yeah. And I love that because I love that you're talking about the freedom aspect too, because I'm a firm believer in Cheyenne. You know this about me, that like, if you want to do something, you can make it happen. I travel more than the average bear and I still have two kids to take care of. They don't miss school because we travel, you know, like we make that happen. But there's also something to be said for, you know, the background work that I have to put into that. And I choose that. And I, you know, and I love my children and I, you know, no regrets there. But I also like, you're just removing that headache for yourself. And I think that is something that, you know, and I love that too, that you're talking about, because we've not talked about this a lot on the podcast because we're very female focused, but I mean, there's a lot of pressure on dads too, societally for things. I mean, it used to drive Alex and I crazy because people were like, oh, I just travel a lot for work. And they're like, oh, who's watching your kids while you're traveling? No one's watching them. They're with their dad. Like, you know, just that kind of thing. Or he'd go into the men's restroom and there's no changing table. Or, you know, there's just a lot of that stuff. But you're exactly right. But it's all this like, you know, I must have a son and, you know, all these types of things that are definitely getting better. But like, hey, that patriarchy is still pretty strong. So we're all dealing with it. But it does affect men in that way too. And it's, yeah. Yeah. But I love that he's open to thinking about things like adoption and, you know, fostering and IVF and all of those kinds of things too, because yeah,
I think that's just the biggest thing. When I originally told him, his brain went to kids are never going to be an option ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And
black,
it
and
was
white.
So funny. Yeah. We were sitting at dinner the other night and there was a commercial that came on and it was a fake Santa Claus. And my husband has a big beard and he said, I need you to promise me right now, you'll never let me dress up as Santa Claus for anything ever. I said, I can't do that. He said, why not? And I said, he has a nephew that's like 6 or 8 weeks old now. Mm-hmm. And I said, what if, you know, he's 4 or 5 years old and your brother calls you up and says, hey, we need Santa Claus. I said, right. You would do it. my husband has two younger brothers that are in fifth and seventh grade that were adopted. And I'm like, you know, maybe eventually they decide to have kids and they need a stand. Like, you never know. I was like, I can't promise you that. And talking about things like that kind of makes him realize just because we don't have kids, he still has those options of nephews and brothers and friends' kids that we get to do all the cool, fun stuff with.
Right. I said, you can still be a figure of, you know, of, I won't say parenting, but just, you know, some form of support for all the kids in your life. Absolutely.
We get to be the fun people.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw a great, like, I don't know, it was TikTok or Instagram yesterday, and it was like the fun aunt, and she came in like all dressed up head to toe, and she took like a selfie with the baby, and then she handed it back, and the dad changed his diaper, and then she said bye. And I love that energy. Like, it's so cool. So
That's how I want my life to be.
Absolutely. Well, I wondered if you, and you've talked about it a little bit, but I wondered if you might share, because I have a whole opinion on this thing, but what are some of the ways that people have felt compelled to bring you around or share their opinion on how you've chosen things or anything like that? Because people are really great. And I use this in the term of like when you're pregnant, people want to tell you their horror stories about their labor. They want to tell you how tired you're going to be. Like they want to make it nasty for you. And I wonder if you have that same kind of the opposite with choosing not to have children.
When I tell people, it doesn't come up very often because it is one of those things. I hadn't shared about it a whole lot just because I didn't want to deal with the drama of people's opinions.
Right. Because it's not their business at all.
Once I mention it, there's four things that most people say. The number one thing is you're going to regret it. And I'm not a person who has regrets. My husband thinks that's weird. But to me, everything that's happened in my life, I don't regret it because it led me to where I am today. Have I made bad decisions? Absolutely.
Right.
But when they say, oh, you're going to regret it, that's when I rattle off the famous people that don't regret it. I've done research. I've talked to people in their 50s and 60s and 70s that are child-free and said they don't regret it. And so normally when I kind of throw that out there, they're like, oh, okay. The second thing is, who's going to take care of you when you're older?
Oh, good gracious.
And if the only reason you had kids was for someone to take care of you when you're older, I think you did it wrong.
Exactly. Like,
there's no guarantee. I know people who've just stuck their parents in a nursing home and never saw them again until their funeral.
Right. Like,
but that is one of the biggest things. And that's just crazy to me that that's the reason people would say I should have kids. The next thing is care, you know, who's going to carry on your family name? Or, well, what about giving your parents grandbabies? And it's not my responsibility to give my parents grandchildren. Like, if they want grandchildren, they can go adopt a new kid and have one. But I know that's not my responsibility. And I don't personally care about carrying on the family name just because my ancestors that are long gone, they don't know what's happening right now.
Right.
They're not looking down here saying, Cheyenne's not having kids. She's not going to carry on our line.
How dare she? Let me throw some lightning at her. Like, this, it's not how it works. Yeah.
We talk a lot about the little town that we live in. There's a lady who lived here her whole life. She has, I've seen so many stories about this lady, and she never had kids. And I think about that kind of stuff. Like, my legacy will live on with or without kids.
Yeah.
Because of the stuff that we're going to be able to do with the time and money we have.
Yeah.
The impact we'll be able to make by not having children. I don't need those kids to carry on my name. That's, and I'm to the point now where I have those little, I can shut people down with their comments pretty quickly because I've heard them so much.
Sure.
I'm just like, here's this, here's that. On that post that I made about being child-free, my uncle actually commented and he said, well, I'm glad your parents didn't choose to be child-free or you wouldn't be here. We love you.
I saw that. I thought, who is this person? Yeah.
He's my uncle. Like, I really wanted to comment back and say, well, if they were child-free, I wouldn't know it. Like,
that's right.
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't know. But for someone to say, like, that's a family member
Yeah.
Who made that comment on my decision. Like, that was just crazy to me that they think they have the right. And I'm just like, okay, that
he's it's that always family though, isn't it? Like, they
want you to know it's your life and I think you should live it how you want. I approve of your decision if that's what makes you happy.
That's fabulous.
If the rest of the world could be like my 80-year-old grandmother,
yes,
the world would be a better place.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. No, I think I'm sure though, I mean, and just knowing you, like, I'm sure you got over this part really quickly, but I mean, I'm sure like the first or second time somebody felt compelled to give you their opinion, you're like kind of taken aback by it. Like, what is happening? And yeah. And I love, cause I'm using my sister as an example again, our mom, it took, I mean, I had to lay into our mom about Rachel before she would drop it because she was just like, well, Laura had kids and we just love grandbabies and, you know, that whole thing. And, you know, it's your mom. So what are you going to say? It's, you know, that kind of a thing. But finally I said, Mom, stop. Like, she is not having kids and it's okay. I said, now you have a fun place to go that's kid free in Texas. And, you know, so it's just so funny, like, you know, and yeah, and I, you know, of course, I feel like family sometimes they feel like I better give my opinion on the, you know, whereas if it's a friend, they might be like, oh, well, that's not what I would have chosen, but okay, you know, but family is like, well, I need to guide them better and, you know, do that kind of a thing, which I think is.
Well, and most of my friends that I've talked to about it have children. And they completely understand because they are mothers and fathers and they know what it takes. And they're like, you know, I wouldn't give up my children for the world, but also I see where you're coming from, especially in the world we live in now.
We had that conversation a couple weeks ago. Yes. Yes.
And it just, I mean, and it honestly, it just gets worse by the day. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine purposefully bringing a child into this world not knowing if there's going to be fish in the ocean for them when they're 30 years old. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Right. And so I feel like at this point, it's irresponsible of me to choose that. And most of my friends are like, I get it. I get it. 100%.
100%. Yeah. Because it's, and I think parenting is weird that way in that, you know, I remember this when my kids were newborns and everyone's like, you know, you just fall in love with this little being immediately. And like, you're made to feel like shit if you don't, like, you're like, I just went through a hard physical process. I don't know this baby. This baby doesn't know me. You know what I mean? And so I think some of those things, like you talked about, like you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to leave a legacy. You're, you know, why? And, you know, that's like a whole thing of my coaching. Like, why not? If I don't want to have kids, why would I have kids? And I think that's, you know, it's just, you know, people are going to have to get on board with that or not be in my, you know, universe is kind of how I feel about it. So
there's, to me, there's a lot around just reproduction as a whole. Like a friend of mine, after she had her first baby, she had postpartum depression horribly, but she was afraid to talk about it because society says you have to love this creature you just created. You know, no, they don't talk about the bad side. They don't talk about the hard sides.
Right.
Women don't talk about how difficult it is for a lot of them to breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
And these things aren't talked about. Everybody just shows, you know, the sparkly side of everything, especially on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you do something out of the norm, you feel like you're the only one, whether it's me being child-free, whether you're a mom with postpartum, whether, you know, you choose to cloth diaper over regular diapers. Like, you're always making the wrong decision to someone and they're always going to tell you about it.
Right.
And at some point you just have to say, I'm done with whatever the crap everyone is telling me and I'm going to do me.
Right.
Once I realized that, that I was the only one who was in charge of my life and my decisions affected no one but me. And in this case, my husband, obviously. But
sure.
You know, like if I'm happy, screw everyone else.
Yeah.
I get to do what I want, when I want. And if that's what makes me happy, I don't care about their opinions anymore. And it took me a really long time to get there. But once I got there, it was just like this light bulb clicked. And I was like, oh, I can do whatever the heck I want and don't care what anybody else has to say about it.
I love that. And I, you know, I'm so big on following that inner knowing. Like you said, if you peel back the onion, what is you at your core? And for some people, that is being a parent. And for some people, it is not. And so I think, yeah, just we're taught to not follow that, right? We're taught to, this is what it should be. This is what you're supposed to do. You know, I feel that same way about people that choose not to get married. You know, great. It's, you know, I have a grandpa that lived with a lady for over 20 years and they were, and it was the coolest thing because she's like, no, I have a railroad pension. I will not marry you. And they were one of the happiest couples that I've known in my entire life. You know what I mean? It just, I think anybody, like you said, anybody that bucks those societal trends, like I applaud you and yeah, you do you, because who else is going to make you happy if you don't make yourself happy?
That's like couples that sleep in separate bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So many people are like, that's, you're going to get divorced. Yeah. I wish we had a separate bedroom that I could send my husband to on his own, because we would both sleep so much better.
I mean, Alex and I have been doing this for a while. Like it just, our house, everyone gets great sleep. Our household is peaceful. My kids, for some reason, have just felt really like supported and loved and, you know, that whole environment. And guess what? We're not talking to divorce lawyers. We are have a fabulous relationship. So it's, yeah, I agree with you.
I'm a huge advocate of if it works for you, that's all that matters, mm-hmm. no matter what it is.
Right.
No matter whether, you know, you're choosing that type of thing, not to get married, whether you're polyamorous and you're in a throuple or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever works for you, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else.
Right.
Go for it.
Exactly.
Go for it.
I feel the same way because, yeah.
And society's always going to tell you to do it the other way because mm-hmm. that's what they've been ingrained to do. And so if you step outside that, whoa, you can't go against the status quo. Like, that's not okay. And right. I think a lot of it is people see other people being happy. People see me being happy, child-free, and wishing, I wish that could have been me. I wish I knew that was an option, mm-hmm. you know, or they see people not getting married and they've been married for 10 years and they're like, you know, I wish that was an option.
I don't know how to get out of this relationship. Time. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of, you know, I see it and I wish that was me. And so now I'm just going to be nasty to you about it because I can't have that.
Right.
And you're not a tree. Like, you can move.
Exactly.
Don't have roots in the ground. You can make changes.
Yes.
Do what makes you happy.
Yeah. You got to prune off those branches sometimes to make those changes. But yeah, no, I think that is the root of all of this. You're exactly right. That, or your choice is somehow seen as a judgment of their choice. And, you know, having been around you, having been friends with you for, I mean, my gosh, literally last night I taught yoga. You came to my class. My 9-year-old was there. And, you know, maybe I'm assuming, but I don't think you minded that one bit. And you chatted with him and, you know, all of those kinds of things. But I don't see Cheyenne not having children as, Laura, you're a piece of crap because you did. And I think that's a lot of times it reflects people's own insecurities back to them, right? That, oh, maybe I did make the wrong decision or those kinds of things.
Absolutely. And like having him at yoga last night, I thought was awesome. Even at the end, like, I praised him for doing something that you told him, you know, at the beginning, hey, let's not do this.
Right. Don't slam your feet around, like, hey, please. Like, yeah.
You're like, good job, dude. You know, like, you did well on that. And I feel like, I don't know, but from his perspective, it might have felt kind of good. A third party.
Oh, yeah. He was like, what was that lady's name? She was really nice, mom. And so, you know, you never know when those. And I think that kind of goes back to what you're talking about, too. Like some offhanded comment because you're having some conversation with the grocery store clerk. Like, you never know how that's going to land with someone. And that's like a life advice thing, right? Like, you do not know what people, you cannot walk around with what's going on in your life on your chest. And so just be nice to people. It just, yeah, I'm 100% with you on
you
that.
You never know what someone else is going through. And yeah. Like, it could be the worst day of their life and you make one comment or one snide remark, they take it the wrong way and, you know, it could be terrible. Or absolutely. You smile at them and make a nice comment, might change their day completely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
you never know what people are going through.
Well, and I think, you know, even the asking people when they're going to have kids, I feel like that, and I'm really trying hard to that, like making small talk with people for that to not be my question to them. Because, you know, yeah, you might not be offended and you're like, no, I just don't have children, and move on from it. And not that I ever dig that deeply with it, but you know, you don't know if somebody's going through fertility treatments. Maybe someone's just suffered a miscarriage. Like there's, like you said, with reproduction, it's such a loaded topic. And so that's why I so appreciate you talking about this with us, because I think sometimes people are just like, I don't want to be the spokesperson for that. And not that you are, but you know, like you said, you just open yourself up to all these comments when you have those kind of discussions. So yeah.
And there's a lot of people that assume because we don't have kids, it's because we can't. It's because we, you know, because of infertility. And infertility is so high right now that, you know, there are a lot of people struggling with that. And I wish I could just give all of my stuff to a woman and say, here, you can have all of this.
I think this is working. Here you go. And absolutely.
I wish that's how it was, because there are so many people that struggle with that. And I feel like that's one thing I've really changed since I've made this decision, is not asking people when or if they're having children. And the other thing that's totally unrelated to that is normally you meet someone new and the first, one of the first questions you ask, what do you do for a living? And I've quit asking that
100%
because to me, if that's the first thing that someone asks, they're putting value on what you do to make money.
Yes.
I would rather know, what are your hobbies? What makes you happy? What gets you going each day?
Right.
You know, yeah, we all have to make money somehow, but people use that as small talk. And I hate that question.
Like, I agree. It defines your worth by what you do for a living. And you, you know, and somebody that's coming off of a lot of trauma from what I did for a living, like that's not.
Well, and especially when you, like in your case, you've switched completely, you know, you're in a completely different career path now. Yeah. And what you do is probably a little out of the norm for people in traditional businesses. So they might make a face or make a comment that might make you feel kind of like what I'm doing now isn't really a job.
It's not,
you
know, real like work.
I mean, my dad the other day was just like, I wish I could stay at home and not work and make money just because I run my business from home. But he's worked a factory my whole life. To him, being a business owner and working at home isn't a real job, you know? And so I just quit asking those kind of questions. People, I don't care if you're having kids. If you're not, I don't want to know your situation. I want you to tell me, you know, I garden. And so a lot of times I'll mention the garden and people normally garden or they know someone that gardens. So we can talk about that instead of what you do for a living, or are you having kids? We've been married, it'll be 6 years this year. And from day one, I mean, I feel like it was the month after we got married. So when are you guys having kids?
Yeah.
So when
sometimes they ask you at your wedding, when are you having kids? Yeah.
It's insane that that's just how it's supposed to work. And a lot of times people, oh, well, you're not contributing to the population. And I'm like, well, I have three friends who have three or more kids. They got it covered for me.
They took like, mine. It's good. Yeah.
Yep, we're good. They have three or four kids. That's my two that I'm supposed to have.
Yeah.
We're fine. We're good.
No, and yeah, my answer to that would be, well, the population's overcrowded anyway, so it's fine. But yeah, we're destroying our planet, so it's fine. I won't add to that. But yeah. That's so crazy. So I have a friend, I actually think she's gonna be on the podcast here in a few weeks, and she is like just this amazing, like, light of a person. And so she started asking people, what are you most excited about in your life? Instead of, what do you do for a living? Do you have kids? You know, those kinds of questions. And I love her, her response to, she was at a wedding with her husband, and her husband just kind of rolls his eyes at her sometimes. But she said, the thing I'm most excited about right now is witchcraft. The person just, Oh, okay. You know, that kind of a thing. So yeah, you just never know what kind of fun conversations you can get into with better questions than, you know, it's like when you were in college, what's your major? Where are you from? You know, all those kinds of things. So it just gets so much better.
But I worked in corporate America. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, cool. And then dead silence because like, no one's going to ask you.
No one wants to know about accounting. So
they're like, okay, so then you're back to square one. So the weather's nice today.
Yeah.
It's just small talk. It makes no sense. I really like that question. What are you excited about?
Yeah, what are you most excited? And you know, and then you're exactly right. You're like, oh my gosh, it's harvest time. My garden's blooming. Like, you know, all these things that you really are excited about are, oh my gosh, we have a new puppy at home, or you know, all these things that can come up and, you know, in good conversation. So I love that.
Or maybe they're excited about witchcraft and then we're going to be friends.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just love that answer because she said her husband just like put his head down and started eating his dinner. He was like, I'm not. I love that. But
good husband.
So good. Well, Cheyenne, to kind of wrap us up here, I wondered, and I know we talked kind of little tendrils of this, but what advice would you have for somebody that maybe is grappling with this decision right now? And not necessarily to go one way or the other, because I think I'm hoping everybody is getting from this. Like you and I have, I feel like two different sides, and that I have children and you do not. And, you know, but also have a good conversation. And I think we both are like, yeah, your decision's awesome and my decision's awesome. And, you know, how would you advise somebody if they're tackling that?
I think my biggest piece of advice is just take your time. Don't make any rash decisions. Do the research and the thinking about it. And also my biggest thing is your body, your choice. Do not let anybody else pressure you into anything one way or the other, whether it's a partner, whether it's family, whether it's society. You are the only one that can make the decision about your life. So this type of, you know, what I've chosen is permanent. And so definitely put a lot of thought into it and talk to other people. You know, if you're on the fence, talk to parents, see, you know, the good and the bad, talk to people that are child-free, see the good and the bad, and just kind of weigh everything out and don't make any rash decisions and just jump into it if possible.
I love that. Cause I think, I mean, and that this really is, I mean, this can be a deal breaker conversation in a relationship. It can be the cause of estrangement from family. Like, I don't think you are by any stretch saying this is a light decision, do what you want. I love that you're like, you know, you do need to have like some hard conversations with people.
I didn't expect the conversation with my husband to go the way that it went. And so you have to be prepared to have those tough conversations. But, you know, like I started thinking about all of this. I remember it was the end of 2019. I was at a friend's baby shower and I've been friends with this person since I was in kindergarten. Her mom was there. I just recently got married a couple years before. And of course, we're at a baby shower. We're around the same age. And I remember that's the first time I said, she said, well, when are you guys having kids? And I said, I actually want to get my tubes tied. And that was, you know, the end of 2019. I had planned to start looking into it in 2020. And then COVID happened. Elective procedures were no more. Right. But I mean, this has been a 4-year process for me. Like, this is not something that I was like, okay, hey, doc, let's do this next week. I mean, I put the time and the thought and the research into it to actually finally make that decision after about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So it does take a while, but I definitely think that's important either way.
Yeah.
If you have an option, I know things happen, especially when it comes to babies, but if you have the choice to think about that, both sides, then that's the best thing to do.
No, I love that. And I don't want to get super deep into this because I know we could both go off on a tangent, but it is worth mentioning, like, you found a doctor that will do this for you. That is not always an option with every doctor. And, you know, and I saw somebody posted recently about their husband having a vasectomy. And they're like, I didn't have to sign for him to get a vasectomy. But I know women that have had things like this where their husband had to sign and give their permission. And, you know, I did see a couple people post on there like, yeah, they did make me give my husband permission to do that. But we are still working in a healthcare system that either systematically or just the opinion of the doctor, like you may have to deal with some of that too as you get into things for sure.
Absolutely. I think with the current climate of reproductive health, Roe v. Wade being overturned, a lot of doctors are starting to come around a little more on that than they used to. So unfortunately, bad things had to happen to get them there. But there are a lot of doctors out there that won't. So that's definitely something to be prepared for. And I went in and I stood up for myself. I said, this is what I want. And thankfully, this doctor listened. But be prepared and be ready to stand up for yourself because it's most likely going to have to happen.
Yeah. It's so crazy. We could do a whole podcast. We have done podcasts on this medical crap that we live in, but yes, I just wanted to mention
about that for hours and hours and hours, and never get anywhere.
It's true, because that's all you can do. It's like student loans. You just talk yourself into a circle. And that's why we have our rants, because what can we do about it but complain? So it's, yeah, it's nuts. But well, Cheyenne, this has been so fabulous. And like I said, I really appreciate your opinion and have valued like you being willing to share with people, because like you said, it's not something that people are willing to talk about because of the blowback they get or because of, you know, just how our society is. And so I appreciate you being willing to come on. And yeah, is there anything you want to shout out or say here before we wrap up?
I just appreciate you having me and letting me feel heard, because as someone who is going against the status quo, I don't feel heard very often in this yeah. type of setting. So I just want other people to know that there are those of us out there and it's okay to talk about it. This was awesome. I hope we gave some people some insight and get yeah. some conversation going around this.
I love this. I love this. Well, I appreciate having you on the podcast, my friend. So thanks so much. And thanks everybody for listening. And we will see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. Find us on Instagram at D3 Women's Pod. I'm your host, Kristen Pickett.
And I'm your host, Laura Mickler. D3 is recorded and edited by Aaron Winter at Winter Freed Records. Have a great week, friends.